Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Miguel Oribe, and he is a grower of corn down in Tierra Viviente, down in Paracho, Michoacán. And we're going to talk about growing corn. Describe a little bit about Paracho and what that region is like.
It's the center of a large Indian community. There's the Purépecha people are scattered out through a very, very large region in Michoacán. It's the highlands. They are traditional growers, and they are the keepers of native seed. They've evolved throughout history for a lot longer than history can even tell. They've been holding on and evolving with this seed. It's a high-altitude area that rains up to 60 inches per year. It's an area that's very colorful with culture and tradition.
What's the temperature like in that region?
Well, it ranges anything from freezing to quite warm. Fairly radical temperatures, but it's not the icy cold that you get up here. We've had frosts in early September that have taken out, you know, regions or sections of our crop that were planted too late. And we've had dry spells that didn't allow the rain to fall on time. It's quite a range of weather.
It seems like corn plant's going to have to be pretty tough to live in that region.
If you're not native in this area, you're not going to make it. All of the companies have come up there and tried to invade that area because it's probably the largest planting area of native corn anywhere in the Americas. It's over 35,000 hectares, over 80,000 acres that are planted every year. And it's the only place I know of where there's that extension of corn and there's not one seed company. They've all come, they've tried, they failed, and they've gone home.
Because you got to be tough.
You've got to be native.
Okay. You have a big farm there, and you grow a lot of this corn. What is it like to live in Paracho?
Basically, I'm the administrator of a group of growers. We're over 100 growers that are gathered together to increase the production and find value and to reveal the value in what it is to preserve and produce this sacred and native seed. I'm heading up a group of farmers, and I love the area. There's culture, there's tradition, there's family, there's great food. I'm at the point now after over 35 years of working with organics that I'm really into native foods. We have perennial bean that's native in that area. We have five different varieties, five different types of beans. We have a lot of native squash. We have the avocados are native to that area. That's also the area where tomatoes and chilies all came from. And so I'm finding a lot of strength and a lot of validity inside of my practices in being able to work with native crops. And I'm centering and emphasizing the corn.
And it seems like from what I know about corn, I mean, we always think about like the pilgrims and they're always cooking corn. But really, there was kind of a cradle of where corn came from. And the region that you're in is one of those areas that they think that corn really originally stemmed from.
Exactly. That's where a lot of the original types of corn evolved, and along with the Purépecha people.
Uh-huh. And then spread out throughout North and South America.
North and South America.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah. And the corn, I was kind of surprised. I went on and looked at your website. The corn really looks like what I think of buying an ear of corn would look like. Somehow I had always thought that original corn, that the plants had smaller seeds and were shaped differently. But these really look like big ears of corn.
We have all types. We actually have one that we call El Viejo, which we found way up in the hills just recently, and it almost looks lizardy. It's got pointed peaks on every one of the little kernels, and we have some that are purple. We have some that are black or blue. We have some that are red. We have two, three different types of white. We have a popcorn. We have a large pozolero, which is one that we use for making pozole. And most all of them, at a certain type in the season, will turn into a really, really great sweet corn.
So the sweet corn is really what happens first. It's kind of like the first point at which it's mature, and then it's sweet on the plant?
Exactly.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay. When do you plant and when do you harvest the sweet corn?
Well, basically, the sweet corn is the same plant. So we start planting at the beginning of March, and we plant all through April. And the latecomers, sometimes if we've got a warm area, we can plant on into May. The plant stays in the ground, and we harvest in December.
Harvest in December?
December.
That's just so unusual for here. It seems so much later.
Yeah. We're in the ground for a really long time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just with that altitude and everything, it's taking it longer to get to that point of maturity.
We're in the ground for over 9 months. We're at an altitude of 7,000 plus. We're at a pretty high altitude.
So I think of sweet corn as what I eat in the fall, you know, and put on butter on it and salt and eat it, you know, on the cob. But then if that were to dry on the plant, that would be what you would make tamales out of.
Nixtamal.
Yeah, nixtamal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. What we don't harvest is sweet corn stays on the plant and becomes grain corn.
Okay. And then, so it's dried on the cobs, and then you've got to take it off the cobs.
Mm-hmm. With most of the stuff we harvest by hand, we have large areas that are flat ground, but most of the people prefer to harvest by hand. So it's put into big baskets, they go down the row and they shuck it, they take the leaves, the shells off of it, and then they throw the whole cob in this basket, and they go down the road and they empty the basket into either a truck or a big gunny sack. And then that's loaded up and taken into the warehouses.
Okay. And does that hold very well? Does it hold for a long period of time so that you don't have to worry about it going bad? It keeps really well?
We've been studying and working with that extensively for several years now. And we find that pheromone traps are working real good for the two major pests that ends up attacking us. We're also real fortunate to have a warehouse in a really cold area. So that helps us out a lot. But yeah, we've resolved it. We've tried diatomaceous earth. We've tried several others, but we're probably one of the few places in Mexico that have come into pheromone traps, able to maintain the quality.
Okay. So you've got it drying on the cob, and then how do you get it off the cob?
We've got machines that'll shell the corn, and we'll actually store it shelled. And then we've got these mountains of cobs that we grind down, and we turn that into compost.
So then you have the dried corn then, and do people come and buy the corn from you to make their tortillas, or do you sell it to the people locally?
Yeah, we sell quite a bit locally. We've got several organic markets in Mexico. We've got several organic tortilla makers in Mexico. We have a couple of big buyers that use it for poultry. We export into California, New York, and some into Canada. Our focus market is definitely Mexico.
Okay, that makes sense because it seems like a lot of times that an area that, you know, makes a product, if it all leaves, and what do the local people do? And it sounds like it's part of the daily diet of people that live in that region.
Absolutely.
Yeah, people are making tortillas with every meal.
And we can call it diet, but it's actually a whole cuisine.
Okay.
It's a complete cuisine that has to do with atole, tortillas, corundas, just a whole line of really delicious plates that come out of there. And they come out at different times during the fresh corn season. And then at the end of the season, there's certain corn, certain colors that are used for certain plates and for certain ceremonies, certain fiestas. So it's a really colorful experience, really cultural and colorful, beautiful and great tasting experience.
Well, I want to hear more about this. I think we're going to have to come back next week and talk to you a little bit more about growing corn down in Paracho in Michoacán. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Food for Thought is produced by Jennifer Bell and Jessica Eden. To find more episodes and listen anytime, check out myfoodforthought.wordpress.com. Over 300 past episodes are also available on iTunes.